Happy Father's Day. So thankful. Look out there and see so many fathers that are with us today that we get to honor. I want to tell you my favorite Father's Day story. It happened about 4 years ago. Let me show you this picture up on the screen. You'll notice these folks. That's Scott and Debbie Miller and their son Peyton. 4 years ago, I couldn't have introduced them quite that way until after Father's Day. And that day, Peyton produced a letter to Scott, and I want to read you some excerpts from that that really, really touched me. He said to Scott, "Happy Father's Day. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for everything you've done in my life, because without you, I would not be the person I am today. It's crazy to think it's been almost 15 years since you and Mom got together. The way you've treated her doesn't go unnoticed, and I appreciate it. You know, I never really had a dad in my life when I was younger. But then you came along. It was different because you cared for me." And he talks about all the different things they had done together and taught him, from hunting to fishing to skiing. And if you know Peyton, Peyton's a world-class skier. Skied actually at Auburn University and University of Alabama. Won all kinds of awards. Still skiing professionally. And then he continues, "It was scary for me at first because I was always worried about calling someone dad. It never really felt right to call you that until I saw how much you cared. But I know that will definitely always be the case. It's comforting to know that I can always count on you. You have helped me and seen me at my best and worst times and have still supported me through everything. I've learned many things like self-discipline and hard work. You and Mom are basically a guide through life. You've taught me the most important thing in the world is have faith and trust in God." And then here's the concluding paragraph. "One day I promise I'll be able to pay you both back for everything y'all have done for me, even if it's an extended stay in a nursing home." I didn't think that was too nice, all right? "I love you, Scott, and I can honestly say I don't even feel comfortable calling you my stepdad. You are my dad, and I'm happy that you'll always be in my life. Thank you for everything you do for our family and me. I love you more than you'll ever know, and I could never say thank you enough for all you've done. Just so you know, I'm in the process of changing my name. Thanks, Dad, Peyton." And it was in that moment that Peyton changed his name from Phillips to Miller. I love that story. It says so much about Father's Day. Because some of us are blessed to have great fathers. Some of us have been blessed not just by fathers, but by great father figures. And I think looking across this audience today, I'm really thankful that my dad's here and all he's done for me. And I look across and I see so many men who've played father figure roles for me, like Don Turow and Dick Thompson or the late Tommy Weldon, who just knew how to father you well. And so today, as we celebrate Father's Day, I want to challenge us all to also celebrate those people who come into our life and who've played that role for us. You know, Jesus said, "If you become one of my disciples, I will give you 100 times more fathers." I think most of us have found that to be true in God's church. And so today I want to look at someone who might be a little bit surprising example for Father's Day. I want to look at Paul today, the Apostle Paul. Because Paul was not married, and so far as we know, Paul had no children, but Paul was an amazing father figure. We could think about Timothy or Titus or Silas or all the people mentioned in his letters that Paul had come into their life. And he talks about this in the book of Thessalonians. Now, before we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want you to mention the context of this letter. Thessalonica was a wild city. There was all kinds of sensual temptations and sexual opportunities presented to men. It was a place where materialism was running rapid and where you might get your hope from the things you possessed. So Paul's writing a culture much like our culture. And Paul understands, for these people to succeed, they need a nurturing, loving mother, and they also need a strong father. And what can sort of shock you as we start reading this is Paul looked at himself as being a little bit of both. I mean, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, isn't that funny? Maybe next Mother's Day I'll preach on Paul too. Just as a nursing mother cares for children, so we care for you because we love you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel to you. You are our witness, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. Pay close attention to these next three words: encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom of glory. You see, what Paul is talking about here is the power of a father's voice. We know that there's something about a father's voice that communicates something even different than a mother's voice. In our culture, the more we study, the more we find out, despite the fact that many people have thought that men and fathers were sort of expendable, they're not. Everybody needs that voice. And so now we'll talk about two things. First of all, the context of that voice. For that voice to mean something, it's got to be in the right context. And then we're going to talk about the power of a father's voice as we honor our fathers today. What's the context important? Because the context of what something is said in changes its meaning. If someone were to come to correct you or to get on to you about something, it would come completely different from someone you knew who loved you and sacrificed for you. You had no doubt they had your best interest in heart. I mean, you take it. But if it came from someone you hardly knew, or someone you knew was hypercritical, and they come to you to criticize you, you're not going to take it so well. The context changes everything. A friend of mine pointed out to me this week, Matthew chapter 3 is the baptism of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 is the temptation of Jesus. Both Satan and God basically say the same thing about Jesus. You're the Son of God. And yet the context and the meaning is completely different. So what's the context of Paul being a powerful father figure? First of all, it's a context of love. He says, we loved you so much. It literally is a picture of a father in a nursery cradling his child in his arms. You see, listen, before we get to the powerful words, we must mark down: words without relationship are ineffective. And when you study parents, the best parents are high love and high discipline. If it's just love, something's missing. If it's just discipline, something's missing. But when it's high love and high discipline, there's something extremely powerful. And so there's got to be a context of love. I did a Facebook post this week where I mentioned that I was preaching about the power of a father's voice, and would you share with me some lines that your father had said to you that changed your life, or a father figure? Now think about this first one. Think about Ginger Burton being right here and how her dad would say to her so often how proud he was of her. And we all know the power of that context. So Paul, first of all, communicated these words in a context of love. Second, a context of transparency. Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 2, we share with you not only the gospel, but our lives as well. Listen, my friends, the gospel is not dispensed, it's just being dispensed with words. The gospel is most effectively given when there's a life that matches the words. And Paul says, when I'm among you, yes, I shared the gospel with you, but I also shared my life. I was willing to be vulnerable. In fact, he says, you saw how I lived for God. You saw how I sacrificed. Paul was open in his ministry about his values, about his past, even about his struggles. God's words shared from a struggling father that's a fellow struggler with their son are much more powerful than words from a father who tries to appear perfect. Like last Sunday, had a young man, great young man here in this church, asked me if he could come by and talk to me, and we had a great talk on Monday. And he's talking about some of the things he's struggling with. But what really, really touched me was I asked him who he talked to these things about. And the first answer he gave me was his dad. He said, and I was so shocked when I shared these things with my dad, and he immediately told me he had struggled through the same thing. See, that's powerful. So there's a context of love, of transparency, and finally a context of unselfishness. He says, surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship among you. Guys, we listen to people's voice who sacrificed for us. Why was Peyton so excited to have Scott as his daddy? Because Scott had sacrificed for him greatly, traveled the country taking this young man to different ski events. You see, being a dad is not just a blessing. There's a price to be paid. The great dads among us, they didn't give themselves a majority of their time to fishing and golfing and basketball and sports and hunting or even ministry. That was important. But a great dad that we're honoring today was willing to sacrifice some of those things or either take you along on those things. One of the best dads I ever knew was in Pensacola, Florida. His name was Richard Zeiler. Some of you may know Richard. One of his sons played baseball, actually, at Faulkner University. He's just a great dad. Both his sons grew up to be really strong Christians. And there's a story another friend of mine told me about Richard. He said he had two tickets to the Alabama-Auburn game. And Richard was a big, big Auburn fan. Him and his wife had both graduated Auburn. But my friend who offered him the ticket said, Richard said to him, I'll only go if you can give me four tickets so I can take my sons. Without that, I won't go. You see, a father is willing to sacrifice for his children. Words and actions must line up. And when they line up, then you've got something powerful. Just think about the 3 points we just made. Think of the opposite of these 3 points. Instead of love, harshness. Instead of openness and vulnerability, aloofness. Instead of sacrifice and unselfishness, selfishness. You don't listen to people like that. You listen to people in the context of love and honesty and sacrifice. And so listen closely to me today. This is who we're celebrating today. It's those men who, in the context of those things, their voice was so important to us. Proverbs 8:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And that is nowhere more evident than in relationship with fathers and father figures. So what's the 3 words Paul uses? What does Paul say? Here's the kind of words that I use. There were 3 of them, if you remember. The first was he used encouraging words. You know, the word courage, encouragement, is literally to put courage in somebody. Like Paul was so encouraging. I mean, if you read Paul and his father relationship with Timothy, if you sort of read between the lines in 1 and 2 Timothy, you'll figure out that Timothy was a little bit shy. That Timothy struggled with self-confidence. And yet Paul would say, come on, Timothy, don't let any man despise your youth. Don't let anybody look down on you because you're young, Timothy, but be an example. Timothy, listen to me, son. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. It's putting that kind of encouragement in someone. On my Facebook post, Lindsay Owens shared this. Her dad had said to her, it's okay to mess up. It's how you respond to the mess up that matters. That's why I give those kind of words. In the average home, for every 1 positive, there are 10 negatives. And we all know if you're a parent and you're trying to raise children, that might even sound low. Because it's easy to correct and correct and correct and correct. But my friends, listen, we've got to wash all that with lots of words of encouragement. Now I think about father figures in my life like Bill Page, who spoke so many important words to me at different times in my ministry. Words of encouragement. And then the second kind of word that Paul used was comforting words. To console, to soothe. When a child is hurt, when a child is confused, when they're discouraged, they need comfort. We don't normally think of men as being that comforting. But men, we can do that. And we've had men do that to us. It just takes listening, takes asking some questions, it takes probing. This week we had one of our kids blast up here, which is really something special. And I walked over there, and a friend of mine's kid was in a corner sort of crying. So I called him out and said, man, could you come talk to me a minute? And so I took him out in the lobby and sat and put my arm around him. And he said, man, all the kids are picking on me. Well, I knew that probably wasn't really the truth. So I finally to him, I said, tell me what's really going on. And this 8-year-old boy really told me what was going on in his heart. Guys, we love when people are comforting. And then final word here, not just encouraging words, comforting words, but here's where fathers are extremely equipped. Urging words. Some translations say, I implored you, I charged you, I commanded you. Listen, a father's voice is distinctive so often in the home because the father can be the one who sort of lays down the law. I like what the great theologian Garth Brooks said. Most of you must believe he is because most of you are in Birmingham a couple weeks ago from what I saw. He was asked if he corrected his children, and this was his answer. Many parents try to be friends to their children. My children already have enough friends. They need me to be a parent and show them right from wrong. So dads are so often that figure in someone's life who lays down that challenge. Oh, this is my favorite response on my Facebook page. Katie Furr's brother, Will Brown, wrote this, okay? And Katie and Will grew up on a farm. And this is what Will wrote about how his father... How his father's words changed him. Listen, he said, I would work on the farm with my dad. Without a word, he would randomly and unexpectedly, while we're driving through the pasture, jump out of a truck while it was still moving and expect me to take the wheel and stop the vehicle. Sometimes we came really close to running into trees, but he really liked to challenge me. He would come back and say, Will, you have to be prepared to take over a situation anytime. Always pay attention and be ready to act. Whew, that's pretty extreme for me. Wow. Father has that ability. See, in the right context, we have the ability to speak words of encouragement, words of comfort, and words that urge. So we use Paul as a great example. Let me close this section talking about the greatest example of a father we all know. We sang about it this morning. It's God the Father. He is a good, good Father. The most powerful voice. And here's a great thing. If you come here on Father's Day and you're struggling because you've really not had that good father, you've not had that person involved in your life, or maybe you've not even had those father figures, here's what I want you to know is that God can be the greatest father in your life. Here's another response to my Facebook post. This was so extremely touching. Came from a young lady named Jessica Dawes, who's part of our church. He said, my dad told me something that wasn't so great, but turned out to be something that furthered my walk with God. There's a lot I could tell you about this story, but the words have always stuck. When I was 6 years old, it was the last night I spent with my dad. He was drunk or high. He was very angry. He picked me up and he shoved me against the wall and yelled at me that he never loved me and he didn't want me. These words were hurtful until I realized it was my earthly father saying this to me. My Lord, he told me he loved me. He sent his son, capital letters, for me. And he had picked me from heaven. I never have to wonder if my heavenly father loves me. He told me so. Because we must learn to listen to the voice of the Father. I want to show you really what I think is an awesome video this morning about that.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. And a pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane, and I can take you in my little airplane, and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket, we'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you gotta do it, you gotta do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front. I'm on the right front. The other lawyer's sitting right behind me. And he started it up. And it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway, the plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing, and we flew probably 3-4 minutes, and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me, and he said, we're going in the clouds, and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds, and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head. And he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you gotta wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we gonna do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, give it to me. I said, tell them, we don't know nothing. Tell them we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell them that's correct. Now you gotta understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm gonna do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm gonna get Anchorage Emergency for you. And Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you. Try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot. And those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we gotta do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you gotta promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not gonna obey my voice, you're gonna die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're gonna crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me 1.5 hours to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die, but I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're gonna make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. Do you realize your head is full of voices? And everybody in this world wants to talk to you. And everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop. And the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening.
I love that story. And it brings us to this point in our service where we line up at the cross. We're about to take communion together. Hope you've got your communion supplies. If not, they're around the worship center. But I want to ask you this morning to take a moment to listen to the voice. You know, we talk about the context of a father's voice being powerful. There could be no greater context for a father's voice than what we find at communion. There's no question when we come to communion that God loves us, that he comforts us, and that he actually challenges us. So the next few moments, I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to have a minute of absolute silence. And I'm going to ask for God to speak to you. It may be that he speaks directly to your spirit. It may be that he just speaks to you through communion and what it means about the Father's relationship to you. But I want you to listen closely. I want you to listen to the Father's voice. I like what they said at the end of that video. Thanks for listening. Our Father loves us. He loved us enough to give his Son. And he wants you to hear his voice because he is the way home. Let's bow together, then let's listen, then let's praise him. Father, we thank you for these moments that we can be together. Father, we thank you for the context of the death, burial, and resurrection that changes everything about our life. It helps us to understand what kind of father you are, how much you love us. And Lord, it's in the context of the cross that we surrender our lives. It's the context of the cross that we say, for us to land this plane, we've got to listen to you. So, Father, over the next few moments, as we remember what Jesus did for us, God, may we hear your voice. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. There's no powerful voice of a father than the voice of God the Father. And I'm asking you this morning, are you listening to the Father's voice? Is that a part of your life? Are you slowing down? Are you quiet enough? Are you understanding his love enough, even when you walk out of here, that he can speak to you and guide you home? I want to show you the rest of that video and let it challenge you before we give an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel today.
I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. The knock at my door. And I opened the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. I said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
This morning, as we celebrate fatherhood and we celebrate God the Father, we need to believe that He's the voice that will bring us home. I want you to know this morning as we close out, He wants to be that voice in your life. I think the video puts it so well. In the culture we live in and the times we live in, there are so many voices competing with the voice of God. And we've got to carve out that time to listen to God and God alone. He wants to be that voice. More than just wanting to be that voice, listen to me. He wants to be your dad. He wants you to be able to call Him Abba Father. He wants you to be able to crawl up in His lap and be loved and be comforted and be challenged. And just like Peyton, He wants you to take His name. And so this morning, if you need to come to God, if you could be honest enough to say, there are too many voices in my head, things are not clear, I'm going to crash, my family's going to crash, I need to unclutter, I need to hear the voice. Father's Day is a hard day for me, you might say, and I need God to be that father, just like Jessica, that makes up for those empty spots. Today you need to come to God. Today you need the prayers of this church to focus back on the cross. If you need to be reminded it's this voice that will bring you home, then why don't you come right now while we stand together and sing.